Okay, we are going to get started. Welcome to everyone who's here with us and anyone joining us online to the City of South Jordan City Council Study Meeting. Today is Tuesday, April 4th, 2023, and we are started. So. Thank you. My name is Dawn Ramsey. I'm the mayor of South Jordan City, and I'm joined with our outstanding city council here next to me. We appreciate each of you and all the service you give to the city. We're going to excuse Mr. Shelton tonight, who's unable to join us. We also appreciate our staff, our administrative team who's here with us. Thank you to all of you. And welcome to any of the public joining us in person or online. We always appreciate you being here. We are going to open tonight with an invocation by Councilmember Brad Marler.
Father in heaven, we're thankful for this beautiful evening. We're grateful for thy many blessings. So thankful for all the snow and rain that we've received in bounteous measure. And we pray that we might be protected from flooding and other issues that come from it. We're very grateful for thy hand in blessing us with so much precipitation. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have this evening to be here in the study session and in city council meeting. We pray that thou will bless us, that we might deliberate well and we might come to good conclusions for the future of our city. Thankful so much for the great staff that we have that surrounds us and advises us and helps us. We're thankful for those who are out working in the field, for those who've been plowing snow and keeping us safe. And we pray that thou will bless all of our staff and all of us as elected officials and our families. We're thankful for the opportunity to serve and pray for these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Marler. Anybody have anything you wanted to go over?
That must be the right
spot. To coordinate?
Yeah.
The only thing I had was to find out if everybody's going to the conference in April.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'll be there.
I am.
Okay.
I am.
Cameron, you said you'd be there.
I can't.
Okay.
Are we getting together Wednesday night then?
That's what I wanted to find out so we can figure it out, right? Let's figure out what we're going to do just based on I didn't know who was coming and who wasn't. So that's
helpful
to know.
Okay. I'd be available.
Okay. We'll figure that out. We'll talk soon. Figure it out. Thank you. If there's no other coordination, let's move on and just look over our regular council meeting agenda. Does anybody have questions about anything specific? We've got a couple of proclamations. We don't have any public hearings tonight, but we do have action items. The information has been sent out. I'm not going to go through each of them individually. I'm just going to see if anybody has any specific questions that can be answered here or need to be answered here.
Notice Mr. Lewis is going to be presenting at the ULCT.
Yeah. That's what I told.
planning on attending that one.
Been told.
I believe Ms. Van Cleve is also presenting.
Oh, is that right?
Really?
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm doing a class, so there's three of us.
Oh, wow.
I'm doing nothing. I get totally off.
You
I don't think I have to do anything.
You did it all last
year. Access to Zoom to watch any of it.
Wow, we've got three from our city presenting. Three different.
Well, now I'm still guilty for not saying that.
Well, and did you hear who the keynote speaker is?
It's
Tim Shriver.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, should be good. Yeah.
Three.
Wow. Would somebody mind checking with ULCT and see if they have anything on Zoom?
If I only knew anybody that worked for them.
Oh, ask them. I don't think they're on Zoom at all.
We haven't been in the past, but I'm
hoping
they would.
There is, but,
I don't think there is.
Ask them.
I'll ask them.
Yeah.
Whoever carries most weight, Gary or Don?
Yeah.
Brian does.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. You got to be here by 8 o'clock.
It should be. Okay, if there's no specific questions about the agenda tonight, let's just go on to item E. We have a presentation. We are really excited to have Josh Dallin here with us. He is the executive director of the USU Bastion Agricultural Center, formerly the equestrian center, right? So we just appreciate him coming and look forward to this update on how things are going. This is located entirely in our city, and they've been doing some great work, and there's big things in store. So we'll invite you, Mr. Dallin, to come and join us at the table, and appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much. If you don't mind, I'm going to pass these out really quickly.
Can we just start by saying you have a legitimate belt buckle?
Yes, ma'am.
That is so legit.
And I'm proud to say this is not the only one.
You're like for real.
Real stock, right? And if it's okay, if I might sit.
Yes, please.
Sure. I know it's weird as a professor to not come with a presentation, but I do believe in death by PowerPoint, and so I wanted to come with a packet for you so you'd have something to look at. I do want to thank you so much for the invitation to come. I have had the opportunity of already meeting Mayor Ramsey. She actually came to our office. It seems like yesterday, but I'm sure it's been a lot longer than that. I've met some of the council members in various events and things, and then, of course, have worked very closely with a lot of your managers and staff over the past year. So we're currently happy and certainly happy to be celebrating a full year in operation. In some ways, it seems like it's been 20 years, and in other ways, it seems like it's been 30 seconds. As I really truly look back and think about it being a year, it's crazy to think that it's already happened. We currently employ 18 individuals at the center. Who specialize in areas such as 4-H youth development, putting on state-of-the-art events such as equine livestock, dog shows, and all the things in between. We're really proud that we've been able to continue the great traditions that have been a part of the Equestrian Center before we took over. Events, activities, and then also, one of our main goals as we worked with Salt Lake City was to provide a transition that was which was seemingly seamless. And we feel like after meeting with them, getting some feedback from our users and others, we've been told that not only did we meet that expectation, but we've exceeded it. People are really excited to see the changes and the difference that having Utah State University at the helm has made. That doesn't mean that we haven't had learning curves, and it doesn't mean that we haven't had a few hiccups, but we're certainly excited to keep getting better and better with time. Before I talk about some of the highlights and some of the things that are coming up, I wanted to thank you as a city for your unwavering support of our center. I also serve as a council member in my community, and I know how busy each one of you are. But as the executive director of a facility that's been here with many traditions and having to look at futuristic ideas and changes, I have never felt more supported, especially from your city. If we have been reaching out for a grant and we've needed a letter of support, or if we've run into a problem, it's just been an instantaneous, how can we help? And yes, and I just cannot thank you enough for that. As I mentioned, I had the pleasure of meeting with Mayor Ramsey. I'm grateful for her enthusiasm and support. I'll never forget, she apologized probably 15 times because she was wearing her activewear when she came to meet with me. But she was on her way to I believe it was a 5K event of some sort. There was something like that. I just remember her resounding words of, you make sure that anything you do, you let me know about it, and we're here to support you, and I really sincerely appreciate that. I also want to thank Don Tingey and Melanie Edwards for their constant support. It seems like we're always in emails or phone calls or things like that to keep everybody up to date, including when somebody thought, let's bring Santa in a Black Hawk helicopter. It ended up being a snowstorm, but we literally found out like 12 hours, maybe not even that before, like, hey, by the way, you're about the only landing spot we're going to bring Santa in and the Black Hawk. And we're like, and so we really like to try and be good neighbors and let everybody know what's going on. And that ended up not happening, but it's become probably a normalcy for them to get those types of messages from me as a, hey, just so you know. And lastly, I wanted to thank the police department. As we have moved in and we've learned of certain traditions or things, and whether it's a great big giant event or maybe it's that we have a great big group of people and maybe we need some help, they've been instrumental in helping us to make sure that we keep things in line, and they've just been wonderful. So I just wanted to take a moment and say thank you, because again, it's so wonderful to know that we all can work towards some great visions and goals together, and having your support means a lot. So I provided you with a packet that tells the story of the Meijing Bastian family, the mission and goals of the USU Bastian Ag Center as a whole, and also the anticipated growth and build out to meet this vision. So to tell you a little bit about the Bastian family, we have three siblings. Their parents were the original founders of the area. But the three siblings really have come into play for the overall development of the Bastian Center. David, Emily, and Mary. David, unfortunately, has passed away. But he often was mentioned that if it wasn't for his deep love for farming, he probably would have stayed in the military and never came back to the family farm. But he really, really loved both the military and the farming aspect. And then, of course, Mary and Emily, they were instrumental in the family farm as they helped to raise flocks of sheep and dry farm throughout the Salt Lake County and Valley. And their love for agriculture runs deep. Their biggest goal and desire is to bless the lives of people. Anytime that we sit down to talk about plans, they ask, how is this going to help people? How is this going to bless them? Is it going to make a difference? Because if it's not, then let's switch it up just a little bit. To give you guys an example of how important things are to them and as far as helping individuals. Last year alone, the Bastian Family Foundation spent $85,000 at the Junior Livestock Show here that's held at the center to support youth not only from South Jordan and Salt Lake County, but throughout the state. And then they turned around and they paid for every pound of that meat to be processed and donated all that right back to the food bank. So that just gives you an idea of the incredible individuals that they are. And, you know, so if you can see that, they bless the lives of youth. They bless the lives of those that are in need. And if you were to write a story about it in the newspaper, they would burn the newspaper down because they don't want anybody to know about it. And that's what's amazing about working for these individuals. This was the largest single donation in the history of Utah State University, in the history. In fact, it was nearly double the previous record. The valuation of the facility alone is somewhere in the $42 million, and then they have pledged continuous ongoing support, which is very unique for a lot of centers. Oftentimes, O&M and those types of things are a big concern, but they, being wise and being from agricultural backgrounds, know that it takes a plan to be able to make things work. I get the pleasure of working closely with them on a very regular basis, and we're working towards this amazing vision. That being said, what I'm providing to you is very conceptual in nature. So there's a lot of the big ideas that will occur, but as you look at some of these maps, there are things that may change, and it's just the nature of the beast as we start to really delve into slopes of the ground and those things that are available. We learn, oh, maybe we need to shift this just a little bit or change. And so I don't want anybody to get their feelings hurt if there's like a curve in the pond that isn't just the way you're seeing it right now, or if there's something different. But I did want to be able to show some of these things to you.
Fortunately, you don't have any residents that are actually locating right here, or otherwise would say be careful about what you publish.
Right. Right, and we actually still are nervous about it, and I'll get to that in just a moment. Just because any time that we bring a tractor out and we start digging, we hear rumors that we are actually building. The rumor that we're still building houses there still exists. I don't know if you heard that as a council, but
no,
there's this rumor out there that USU is going to sell it and build houses and put a subdivision in there. It doesn't matter what we do, we can't kill that one. So
tell them yes, but it's for four-legged
residents. Yeah, that's correct. That is exactly right. So to give you guys just a brief understanding that of what our primary goals and objectives are, is we want this to be a place of research, education, and outreach. The general objectives are to provide education, research, and outreach focusing on local heritage farming practices, life skills for adults, youth, and urban populations. We want to further research and development to provide research-based information to local government, community organizers, constituents, and corporate leaders. We want to elevate USU's ag presence in more of an urban setting through deep and meaningful relationships within the local community. We want to share most recent knowledge and technologies and manufacturing methods that pertain to current and historic farming practices, and that includes things such as dry farm management practices, livestock raising and management, food preservation, permaculture, water-wise practices, those types of things. We want to provide demonstrations so that your constituents can come and see what those things look like. One of my most exciting things I'll share, I'm going to jump ahead of my notes here, but for those of you that know our great big polo field, beautiful big 12 acres, many of you might not know, maybe you do know, but that is currently being watered by culinary water. And the farm boy in me, every time I see that, just wants to choke and hide under the table. But we actually are installing a state-of-the-art irrigation system that we've actually shared with Don and Melanie that we think maybe might be of interest to you in some of your areas. And so we hope, again, this is going to be an opportunity to look at these things and say, gosh, you know what, we could do that too in the settings that we're in. We also are planning to plant a cool new, newly developed hybrid Kentucky bluegrass that actually reduces water usage by 40%, is more hardy. It can take the beatings of foot traffic and all the things, and then yet still stays green and beautiful. So lots of things like that we hope that you can start to come and learn and see and implement into your practices as a city. And then lastly, we want to provide a dedicated space for 4-H and other youth participants by our learn by doing processes. So how are we going to accomplish this? We have four major areas of focus for the family, for USU, for the center in general. One is animal production. So we want to be able to continue elite equine practices, the boarding, the arenas, the stalls, the events. We want to provide livestock raising experiences and opportunities, encounters and educational opportunities. Our second focused area is natural resources. This will come through our pond or trail systems, exploration, islands, and adventures, open space for biking, hiking, and just being able to run and be free. The third area of focus is our plant production center. This is where we hope to be able to teach constituents how to grow, how to prepare, and how to preserve their own food in a variety of different methods. So whether you are very, very inner city and you have just maybe a little space to grow something in, or maybe you have a large backyard, maybe you have a medium-sized and you want to learn about drip irrigation systems and how those can work. And maybe you're super busy, so you're actually not able to go out and water your garden every day. And so we might teach you about timing systems, right? So you can have all those things that help you to be able to do that. And again, grow, prepare, and preserve. So not, I think the prepare and preserve parts are some that we've been lacking in. Especially as we move farther and farther away from maybe those rural types of roots where you snapped green beans and helped grandma to can them. Mm-hmm. How do we bring those principles back so that we can preserve the things that we're growing? Lastly, our STEM center. This is going to be our largest capital, building, but it'll be there to assist youth and families to develop and foster skills in ag science, technology, engineering, and math. And, you know, the ideas that are floating around as we start to do this is things such as the understanding that youth can have that, you know, they can be an agricultural mechanic. They can do things that they enjoy. They can go in and get their hands dirty. We want to have a maker space that's open to the community. So if there's entrepreneurs that don't have maybe a plasma cutter, they can come in and they can rent that for their local businesses and sell those online or throughout the community. Those are the types of things that we hope our STEM center will bring to the community. So I want to direct your attention to the conceptual page, which is the first one of the overall drawing. And this is the overlay of what you're very familiar with as the Equestrian Center, and of course is now turning into the Bastion Ag Center. We anticipate, so there's a couple of things I'm going to focus just in my limited time with you tonight. We anticipate, if we ever make it to spring, that we will begin some construction starting in about July. And our first areas of focus are going to be an arena improvement focus, and then also our natural resource area. The way that we will begin this, the first thing that will happen is we will be removing the current racetrack. And we're going to remove that for multiple reasons. Number one, there is what they call footing, which is just a fancy term for horse dirt that layers the track. That footing is actually extremely valuable, and we're going to use that as we re-render different arenas and plan and move forward. So we're going to be able to reuse that. Of course, because we're taking that off, we'll be removing the rail systems and all of those things. And we'll start the concave and convex digs of what you see up there in the northern areas, our natural resource area. We will be putting in three new arenas that will all be located very close to the existing indoor and covered arenas. We feel that is going to increase usage for events and for the general public by at least 30%. Yes, ma'am.
That's a question. When we're looking at this map, is this existing, everything that's just outlined? What's existing and what's new?
So existing, if you see the arena that has a little kind of a donut around it right there, that one is existing.
Okay.
We also have another existing one there, but if you start right here and you go 1, 2, 3, these three rectangles, those will all be new.
Okay.
The third one there you'll see is a new covered arena, so we're actually going to have another enclosed arena. And we're excited about this, not only for equestrian things, but I'm sure you're aware that the constituents of South Jordan and surrounding, it's amazing what they would like to utilize this arena for. Mm-hmm. We're the home of the third largest dog show in the nation, right? Right there. Right there, the Beehive Cluster. It's big. If you've ever, I forget, what is that show? It's a movie. Best in Show. It's real life at the Bastion Center. Really. People are flying in their private groomers, their private showmen. I mean, it is intense. And sometimes they're there and sometimes they're not. They may show up to get the trophy, right? I mean, it's real life. But what we're finding too is we have need for festivals. We're working with the 9/11 project, right? We're actually trying to get them, Jenny Taylor, we're trying to get them up into the Logan area for... it's going to be 2025. We hope that they'll be here in 2026. I wanted them here in 2025, but they bumped on us and said, we're going to Ogden and then Logan and then here.
Because they're booked and can't host it.
Yeah.
We're booked and can't host it.
Yeah.
We tried.
We tried. Believe me, we tried to move heaven and earth. But now that we have a new arena, we'll get them here.
So far.
We'll get them here. I know. I'm sorry. however, we're finding that just like that, where else are we going to put it, right? And so we know that that's going to be a great added addition there. The other thing that we're going to do, and we have some renderings that were a little bit more sloppy than this one, and so I didn't bring them, but we're actually going to see if that existing arena that has it's a training track. So it has a little oval around it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're trying to throw a bone to those that may have boarded with us for decades that do participate in either barrel racing or horse racing in general, to be able to give them an opportunity to exercise, not race. I will emphasize that.
I have received a little bit of pushback from a couple of horse racers in the state. They don't live in South Jordan.
Yep.
maybe I'll talk to you about that too.
Yeah. So it's yeah. definitely
don't turn that down. I'm like,
yeah.
There's two of you.
Well, and thank you.
In perspective. Hello.
Yeah, it is a perspective thing. There are tracks that still exist, and we don't want to completely erase that. We want to say, hey, you know, and the reality is they'll use that like this time of year, but most of these folks they're going out of state.
Right.
Where paramutual betting is exists and where the purses are higher, that's where they're going. They're going out of state and they're using this as a training facility. And quite honestly, it's a great thing for the local economy when they're boarding here. They're stopping at your gas stations, they're going and grabbing something to eat at your restaurant, they're coming to the Bastion Center and they're putting together those things. And I think that that's something that we need to look at. And so we're actually going to, the newest drawing, if you guys want to go to the next page, you'll see we're going to extend that just a little bit because we did get some feedback from those in that racing community. And they said, we've got to have it a little bit longer to actually exercise. If you look to the right, where it says 163 by 250, we're actually going to just leave that as a parking area. So essentially, there's going to be certain times where people can come and exercise their horses in a safe environment. We'll have gates that are shut so that it's safe. But when those times are up, we'll open those gates. And it reminds me, like, if you've been to Laguna, you're trying to get to the swing ride and the train's going, there's like the, you know, and it's just a foolproof way. You're not going to get run over by the train. Same principles with gates there. This will give you an idea, too, of the other two arenas and then that indoor arena that we plan to put there. We're lucky because of the foresight of doing this sooner than later. We're going to leave our arenas that are clear down on the north side still in operation so that we always, as we start to make this change, have the number of arenas that the general public is used to be able to utilize. This spring, of course, has been really hard for everyone because it's been so snowy and muddy and mucky, but we've been able to at least try and stay on top of it the best we can. And for the most part, everybody's pretty happy with what we've been able to provide to them. But we are excited about those areas. I did also want to mention, just in this conceptual map, please don't panic. We are not turning the polo field into a parking lot. They did this because we are going to be hosting one of the nation's largest barrel races that's coming in June. Ooh. And it's called the Ruby Buckle, and we'll be using that for overflow parking. And so they just did an oversight for us at that time to see how many we felt like we could actually accommodate right there. Mm-hmm. So we're excited about that one. That one's as far as World Equestrian, I mean, that's the Ruby Buckle is a big deal. It's about a $3.5 million purse.
Wow.
Your biggest. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So it's I will make sure to send you an official invitation. And as we get closer, because I've had other people interested, I need to know better, like, what days are worth coming, right? Because it'll be six full days of barrel racing, right? But what days are we maybe going to see some more advanced rounds and things like that? The other cool thing that they're doing is they're going to open up for kind of like a trial run. And they do this on purpose because they want when they come, they prepare their own dirt. They bring their own tractors. I mean, you just don't mess. Like, you get it all ready and they come.
Wow.
But they want to do kind of some practice stuff. And so they're going to invite like our 4-H kids, amateur barrel racers and things to come in and run the ground.
So that'll be the
first night there. So it'll be really neat that's happening. Yeah, it's
I was.
Yeah, you know, it's really cool that we were able to get that. And again, I think a lot of it is when they saw USU, they were pretty excited and they wanted to jump on board. The natural resource area. If we want to turn that page there to the final one. This one will be coming in a few phases. But what we hope to be able to do starting in July is we actually hope to be able to get some trees in, a lot of the infrastructure. So we want to do drip line systems and things so that we can mitigate water use, but also utilize that to the fullest to be able to get trees and things like that in. And then the trail system that surrounds it. So we'll have probably the concave areas of where that pond and water will go, and then the areas of the islands that you see there. But primarily, we will focus on kind of those trail systems. And our we call these sessions that we have idea-thons. So we bring people from all different areas of expertise, and we bring them in. And we've decided that we are going to have three different trails. There's going to be an ADA-accessible walking trail. We've had some pushback about asphalt, and it's like, well, we've got to be able to put something in that everyone can enjoy. So we'll be able to do that. I've even talked about, can we go down south and bring some of that? You know, some of the roads down there are red.
Oh, yeah.
You know, see if we can maybe bring some of that in. We will have a bike trail, but the bike trail is going to be focused on youth. We're thinking like 3 to 10 years old. And what this bike trail, we actually have a grant in right now that we're hoping we'll get. It will have whoopties and tunnels and all sorts of things so that the kids that are on their Strider bikes can enjoy it just as much as your 9 and 10 year olds that are advancing in their mountain bikes and things like that. And, you know, it's sad to bring up and remember, but it wasn't even probably a half a year ago where we lost a little boy that was out here on 114th. And it just kind of put an exclamation mark in my mind as we need a place that's safe that people can come and enjoy these types of things. The outer path that you see there will be an equine trail. So people can actually safely ride their horses around and not interrupt or create any danger between the two that are there. So we're hoping that we can serve all aspects of the community and allow them to come in and enjoy. Our islands, I don't have enough time to even talk about the ideas that are coming forth there, but we're thinking canopy zip lines. They're even thinking about, you know, with the area that we have here in Kennecott, having those mine carts that go around that are self-propelled around them, open spaces, trying to bring in almost like a scout-esque opportunities where there's some shooting sports and some knot tying, and I mean things that you would expect in natural resources. And the one island that they're calling well, the name's changed about 15 times now, but it used to be Eco Island, and now it's more of a kind of an exploration island is what they're calling it. That one you're only going to be able to get to via canoe. So they're thinking that we'll have groups out there that'll canoe out there, and they stay out there, and they have campfires out there, and they do all the
like
things
overnight?
In the middle. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yep. Yep. So we're thinking about those things. And so those are just some, you know, generalized ideas. And again, we've learned this year, we would like to have been digging and doing things already. We hesitate with a $3.5 million barrel race coming in to give anybody, free reign to do anything, and so we're holding off. That's why July 1 is really our date, as we feel like we should be able to actually start to actively make some changes there. So you're aware we will make signs because, as I mentioned, they're going to see us out there, and they're certainly going to think we're building houses again. So we're going to say, you know, coming soon, and having some exciting signs out there so that the gen...
There.
Yep.
So they know it's not housing.
Yeah.
Condos, townhomes.
Yes.
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 Yeah, because only other lake in the city has houses
yes,
around
right.
us.
Right. And as we look
yeah,
forward to this... As we look forward to this, we also look forward to repurposing the ugly fence. So I know that that's always been, I know I've heard that a lot.
I was so honest about how much I hate the black.
Yeah, so
head.
The black,
down and
so, so what we're looking on is we want to make it look good. One of the things that in talking to Don and Melanie and some of our meetings that we've talked about is, we do understand that there is vandalism, and that's apparent. And so what we want to do is we want to create it so that it feels open, but yet if needs be, we can control it. Mm-hmm. Especially as we start to get these activity islands and things going, right? We're for liability and all sorts of reasons, we're going to be able to have some control over those things. You can see the amphitheater there. I'm hoping we get the amphitheater done before Ann Wilson dies, because I'd really like Hart to come and sing to start that out. But it's not going to be that big, but hey, by then she might come. lastly, too, and by the way, we are so happy to do this. I know that your public works department is utilizing the old arena that used to be there for a temporary
storage lot.
And we are so happy to be able to do that in the future, and it will be phases later, but we actually hope to have a lodge that's right adjacent to that, that's multi-purpose. So if South Jordan wants to go and have a nice soiree there overlooking the pond, right, that's where that will be. But we also want to be able to do that for our youth programming things, so that it's very versatile and user-friendly there, and again, more of a natural resource effect look there.
Where are you guys getting the water for your pond?
That's a great question.
It's snowing, Jason.
It's snowing.
But I'm also wondering if the legislature might pass it.
Dig a hole, quick.
So we actually have two different sources, just for your information. So number one, the original plan was to look at irrigation shares, and we have plenty.
Oh, yeah.
We actually have a 20-year donated agreement from Rio Tinto of over 200 shares, which is way more than we need. And
that's great.
Wow. And we also have, and we did that intentionally. We don't want to have to use that to its capacity. We also have, we are owners of roughly 35 shares ourselves. But, and this is the big but, we are in working right now to see about the potential, because we've been able to acquire through some other sources some different shares, and it was part of the original plan of when we were going to maybe be out more in the Bluffdale area. We're working around to see if some of the shares that we have are more transferable for acre feet. If we can, because that seems to be more of a depressive hole there, we are potentially looking at the idea of actually having a well where we actually are metered right there in that aquifer. And the reason why is because if we are able to do that, then all of a sudden we can have trout and we can have swimming.
Yeah.
And we don't have to worry about what's getting shuffled into the canal on its way down to the center, right? So, and that's very, I share that in confidence, because it's very preliminary, but we are looking at all of those options to say, what can we do? We also know that Salt Lake County spent a lot of money installing a drainage system that's very good. It works very, very good. And so we want to make sure that we're utilizing that. So if we have overflow or needs, it'll be utilized through that. And the great thing is that drainage system actually goes back down into the river and eventually makes it to the Great Salt Lake. So all the legislators will be happy about that.
So this, can I ask you about the lodge? I mean, I understand the lodge a little bit more. Is this for like youth groups to go stay in and stay the night in? Or what,
so,
what's the intent
no,
of the lodge?
The intent of the lodge is going to be more for an event center, open space to be able to do programming and things like that of that nature. And we anticipate that it also will be used for public, you know, rentals of
it's not a housing lodge, overnight type lodge.
No.
Okay.
So we actually, and I wasn't going to get into that because of time, but we actually have plans in the future for three housing units that will be adjacent to the STEM center. And the reason why this is so important, we've fought a battle back and forth of, do we want to do this? Do we not want to do this? Do we want to do this? But as Utah State is an all-encompassing university that reaches throughout the state, especially through our extension programs, one of the biggest problems that we're finding with our youth, whether they're in school or coming up for 4-H, is where do they stay? Parents don't feel comfortable sending youth to stay in hotels with chaperones because it's a little dicey. It's not secure. There's really nowhere for them to go. And oftentimes what ends up happening is they have to get up at 3 a.m. and get on a bus. They come and they get a half-baked event because they have to then hurry and turn around and go back. And so what we hope is that this will start to serve as a place where we can service those opportunities in a safe environment like we do on campus. I mean, it's very, very common for youth groups to go up to Logan and to be able to do the same thing. We want them to fit the mold of the landscape. Originally, in the very first renderings, it looked like a dorm. They won't anymore. They'll probably look a lot more like a lodge. And then originally, it was all one together. Right now, the idea is to have them separate so that we can be conscientious of the O&M. You know, if it's a slower time of year, we don't have to leave two of them open. We can only use one. So, yeah, so we do plan on that. I'm going to be the first to admit I tried to kick out the idea of lodging, and then after I was explained as to why we really need to have it, I'm going to be the number one fan of
it. I like it.
Yeah, after I was like, well, that's a lot of money. And then when I heard no, especially for all of our rural constituents, they need a place to come. And to be honest, too, you know, we're running out of areas for scouting groups, church groups. I mean, that they are running out of places to be able to go and experience. And with all of these things that we'll have right there, we're going to be able to provide
a lot of
things.
How many would it be
able
to hold overnight, you think?
Right now, they really haven't given us too many numbers, but we hope that we would be, like, we need to have... like when we host like a state FFA event or a state 4-H event, I mean, we need to be able to comfortably house upwards into the probably 600 to 800.
Wow, that's great.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow. Yeah.
How long do you think for build out?
So these first two phases of what I'm sharing with you should happen fairly quickly. We do have support of the Bastion family, as well as I've worked to bring in grants. The county was really supportive with their TRCC funding, so we got $500,000 for the arenas, and then we got another $250,000 for the natural resource area, and we're hoping to be able to go back and ask for more. They understand the importance of what we're doing, and they're very supportive that way. And again, thanks to you guys, because your letters of support are very important to us for that. But I know the arenas need to be done very quick. So I would anticipate by this December, our arenas are done. Wow. The indoor arena, probably not. It'll probably be more into 2024, just because you can't order anything anymore and actually have it show up when it's supposed to. And, but the arena configurations that we're doing, that's a matter of excavation and panels and laying that topsoil down. Phase two of what our arenas look like, as we've gotten in with design groups, is we want to have better lighting for safety. We want to have sound systems that are available. We want to have those types of things that that make sense and work, just so you know, if we're building it, we're doing it the right way. But that will probably come at a later date, just because of the funding pots that are available. But our natural resource area, the donors are very motivated. They want to see that happening, so it will be very quickly. The STEM Center, again, capital-wise, I mean, it's quite an expensive idea. And so our development people are working on those campaigns to see how quickly we can do that. I mean, if you got about $35 million you're willing to give me, I could get it done real quick. But that's kind of where we're looking at there. Lastly, in respect to your guys' time, I wanted to share some impacts from just 2022. So we turned the Jockey House into the 4-H clubhouse, okay? Put some paint on it, gutted it out, and we created a place of belonging that's outreach and impact has served over 15,000 youth from right within there. That doesn't mean 15,000 have come in there, but the staff that's in there has been able to go out right from South Jordan and serve that many youth. We have a junior teen and a teen council that has over 300 participants. These are the future youths, right, that are learning about government, that are learning about being leaders, that are coming and meeting there at the Bastion Center. We brought 4,000 seventh graders from the Jordan School District to the Bastion Ag Center and taught them about agriculture. I sheared sheep all day and let them see what that's like and why that's important. We have a program that's called ICE, which operates out of the Bastion Center, which teaches agricultural principles to fifth graders. We've reached nearly 7,000, and it all is coming from here. One of the things I was most proud about is we really had to ramshackle it together, but we were able to help 14 youth last year raise sheep and goats that otherwise couldn't.
Here or
at the Bastion Center. Okay. Yep. So right here within the surrounding area, because they have to be close enough to come and do it. And that's where my heart beats the most, is livestock. That's my my family's livelihood. It's where we come from. And so to see those kids to be able to experience those things, it made me realize that I took a lot of those things for granted. But we anticipate we'll double that this year. We've been able to get grants to do it.
So local kids keep their animals on site and then they come and care
yep.
for them themselves.
Yep. And there was a young girl that worked so diligently with her lamb that it just followed her. She didn't need a halter anymore, didn't need to use her hands. You would just see her joyfully walking around the property with her lamb following her. Pretty incredible. And the coolest part, the Bastions are always going to buy those animals to make sure the kids get the return that they need and support them. So it's really, really neat. And again, we anticipate we'll at least double that. We partnered with the Jordan School District, so the FFA are also enjoying the opportunities there, and it'll be a great opportunity.
You mentioned having these different councils. Where can the kids go to learn more about them, possibly?
If they go to our, if they just search Bastion Agricultural Center and go to the 4-H Youth Programs,
under the
4-H. Yep, it'll be right there under the 4-H. And what's really cool about where we're at is Salt Lake County has always been so supportive of our youth programs, but their fortress of a building down there is very hard to navigate, right? I'm saying that really fully, right? It is, and people can't get in, and they can't, it closes at a certain time, and so youth would show up, and the phone wouldn't work, and they couldn't get in, you know, and this has just opened that up. People can drive right there. They can stop in and feel like it's one door open, and hello. And that's the other thing is during business hours, Monday through Friday, stop in. We have four amazing staff members that are there that probably would tell you a lot more than what you actually want to know about those things.
Where's that spot on the map?
So it is right here. So the rendering of the STEM Center is covering it up. But if you come off of 2200, about right in the middle, it's right there. And you'll see that we've got little banners up and things like that.
It's where they did the Christmas.
Yeah, so the Christmas in Color parking lot.
That's the lodge, isn't it?
That was in the main arena.
No, this is a separate outbuilding.
Yeah.
It almost feels like
they're... So this is where the youth are keeping their animals.
So the youth are keeping their animals right behind that. Mm-hmm.
So here-ish.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So the old paddock is what we're actually turning into the animal and the holding area.
Okay.
And there's going to be 12 already made areas, and we're building out the paneling and everything else. The first year we did them within our stalls, but that's where we're going to have that area. And it's all enclosed, so it's protected. They can work their animals. If one gets away, it gets away in a protected area, and it's just a really, really cool thing.
It was the Dickens Festival. I was trying to remember.
I kept thinking, like, Christmas Carol Festival.
Yeah. So this program has existed. You've just moved it to this property.
It's existed, and since it's moved to this property, if you talk to those that have been here for years, it's just went kaboom. Because of accessibility and just that feeling of belonging. Yep. That's right. We'll give you an idea. We've opened this up again to a grant that I have, and we advertised it just simply through social media channels and just through a listserv. And in 2 days, we had 11 youth that have never participated in the livestock that signed up. And we're 2 days. I mean, we still have a week. So we're thinking we're going to probably have to do a little bit of an application process, and figure out how we can house them. The future plans, so you know, I plan to have 25 stalls that are in a situation with runs to where we can have multiple animals in each and really expand that out.
What percentage of these kids that are now having animals have ever had animals before?
So from what I understand, this was the first opportunity for every single one of them. So 100%. Yep.
It's so special.
And it is. And the cool thing is we have all of our specialists. And that was my specialty before I got this new job, right? I was a livestock specialist. And so that's what makes me excited is I get to go and teach them, right? We teach them how to do all those things and why it's important. And, I won't bore you with all the lists of life skills that they're going to learn just from that opportunity. Lastly, in closing, just some fun facts is we've hosted over 620 events this last year. We've reached boarding capacity, which is something to our knowledge. Christy, who works right with me there, she's been there for 10 years. She says that that's never happened.
No, I was just going to say, I don't think that's ever.
We have a waiting list. We've seen an increase in open riding attendance. Again, we're the home to multiple equine clubs that come and ride together, including three or four 4-H clubs that are here within the county and the city. Again, we're the home to the third largest dog show in the nation, and really everything in between. Circuses, I mean, you name it, it's happening there. In 2023, we are looking forward to hosting the Gem Show. That's a big one, and thankfully it's not over Easter this year, so it'll be the 12th through the 16th if you'd like to come on over. Multiple breed horse shows. I already talked to you about the Ruby Buckle as well. We are having a Renaissance Fair. There's a jousting competition that's not a part of the Renaissance Fair that's coming. So if you're into jousting, you can come to that. And
Mayor,
then,
that's a new activity for you to try.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't done that.
And then,
have any of you done that?
No.
Okay, any of you?
Sojo team.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. In October.
Everyone who did the Dragon Boat has to do jousting now.
I don't know. I've done a lot of crazy things on a horse, but I don't think you're going to sign me up for that one.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, if there's any event that you'd say, hey, we would really like to have, you know, members of the city council at this event, please reach out to us.
I will.
You know, and I imagine we can get some of us there.
I would love that. One of which is the last one that I was going to mention. We got a high school rodeo coming in October. They're big deals.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never been able to do it. So what we're able to do is, part of the reason is, even though you would think we have 300 plus stalls that are set aside just for events, for these bigger events, 300 isn't enough. We need 500. And we actually just purchased, with the help of the Bastion family, 200 temporary stalls that can be set up and taken down. So now we're big enough that we can host these big high school events. And again, a lot of these guys are going to be staying in your hotels. They're going to be doing all these types of things. And we just can already see that increase in excitement that's being brought there. So I just looked at the time. I'm sorry. I get so excited about this that I've probably taken way too much time. But I really appreciate the opportunity to come, and there's so much more to learn. I would love if you're ever wanting to stop by, if you just give me a call. And
what's your number, Josh?
My phone number, let me give you my cell phone. It's 435-279-4425. And then my email is josh.dallin, D-A-L-L-I-N, @usu.edu. But anytime that you'd love to stop by, we'd love to have you. We're getting ready. I think we've got an Arabian show coming in this weekend. There's always something happening. Lastly, one of the things that I wanted to bring up that we're excited about is just doing a little bit of branding. So we'll have, we're going to have kind of a Yellowstone-esque archway that's going to be put in. That's the demand. It's not a want, it's a demand of the family. They're excited about it and they want it in. So down that beautiful drive that when you turn off 114th, it will be there towards the end. So you'll drive up through that and drive through that. The other idea that they're toying with, and it's not in finalized state at all, but we want to put a subtle marquee that's in rustic kind of timber and stone that sits on the corner of 2200 and 114th. With also some a military monument that honors David's service and those in our military families. Things like that. Programmatically, we went to the legislature this year and we didn't win, but we're not giving up.
I actually had a question about that.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it, I mean, you can just take it or leave it. I'm just spitballing what came to my mind during this presentation. Mm-hmm. But this is how I think. I don't know when I turned into this, but this is now going to peak somewhere along the road of this deal. Do you think there would be value in putting together an event where there were some key legislators that come to mind? We're going to be thinking of the same people, key legislators, that we could invite for an event here. We can be there, talk about it, walk them through, show them the vision, have some vision boards made up, and explain what all of this is so that some of those... they really care about this. They know this. Their kids barrel race. They raise horses. They, you know who I'm talking about,
right?
And
I know exactly who you're talking about.
And I think there's really potentially great opportunity there to bring them in. Let us come and be part of the vision of what's happening here, and what we're excited about what you're doing.
So as we get that archway done, And that's, I'm glad that you brought that up. We want to do, we've never really, they did this big golden shovel dig out at the first site that they thought they were going to do this at, but they never really did that here. And so as we put this archway in, that is what we want to do. And I think that if you would be willing to come, we don't have any form of anticipation. The family's getting bids right now. But as soon as we know that anticipated date and timeline, I think that would be the perfect way to do that. Do a ribbon cutting, do a showcase, and have you and those others involved.
Please keep us posted, because some kind of an event that we could even try to help promote.
Sure.
You know, with some of those folks that might be invited, using all of our different channels to try to get the right people there, I think that could be very beneficial.
I agree.
For the next legislative session.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm thinking rope. Come rope your legislator.
Hey, that's a great
idea.
I'm going to note that one. To give you an idea, too, we are focused on right now, one of the things we went to the legislature to ask for, and we were actually the highest ranked out of any USU ask in the higher ed committee and didn't get it. It was a big realization of what politics really mean for a small town Bear River councilman, right? But we are focused on serving all of our constituents, and we are right next door to two major military installations that have family members and kids and dreams and hopes and goals, and they want to learn. And so we hope that the Bastion Center will become a hub for extension education infused into military families and their operations. That's one of the things.
Yeah. Awesome.
And then also we want to expand our outreach for these livestock programs. So neighboring facilities that could do the same thing that we're doing, such as the state fairgrounds and other places like that. But again, have our employees be the hub and be able to outsource those. And there may be surrounding cities that have facilities that we don't know about, right, that could do the same thing with the right type of education, because there's so many kids that want to do that don't otherwise have the opportunity. So we're looking into those types of things that we can do whether we have a building or not, right, that we can start programming right now and be a part of it. So.
Well, we appreciate you coming. Exciting stuff.
Very exciting.
Having great work and a great vision that is going to be a benefit to this community and the greater community at large, this entire region. I do think, just kind of along those same lines, whenever this goes together, I know two of the lobbyists that work for Utah State. I think you invite your lobbyists. I think we bring the director of water, all the people. Invite all the people. Let's get them all to come see how awesome it is. Because you cover all of the boxes, right? You're checking all the boxes. And ag optimization is the key phrase right now, because it matters, right?
It does.
Bring everybody, give them your presentation, have your big things, we're there, we'll talk about it, and let's see if we can't do what we can to try to help get some additional funding for you this next session.
Well, I love that, and again, thanks. In true fashion, as I began this thing, thanking you all, thank you again, because that support is exactly what we need. So I appreciate you. And again, please reach out at any time. I'm generally just right up the street. So
where do you live, Josh?
Far away.
So I live far away. I live in Box Elder County. It's called my little town is Bear River City. I'm sixth generation. My kids are seven.
You commute in.
I do. So I'm about an hour and 10 minutes, except for when it's 2023 with snowstorms every day. Okay. But I'm about an hour and 10 minutes away. And I was formally, when I started my career, I was hired as the state 4-H livestock and equine specialist. And I did that for close to 5 years from campus and served the state that way. So I drove 45 minutes from home to there anyway. And then after about 5 years, the ag agent in my county, he had been there for 28 years, he retired. And so I did 5 years. There. I applied for that position and was close to home and serving my neighbors and families and friends and received tenure. And I was actually in the neighboring county, Weber County, one night teaching people how to feed their livestock at an IFA clinic, and was driving home and the vice president called me, and my word, you know, and why is he calling? I wonder if I lost my job or something. He called me and he said, He called me and he said, "Hey, what would you think about this?" And so And we talked about options and things. And I said, you know, I think it's really important that somebody that's running this center has a little sheep poop on their boots and really understands what agriculture is. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that my kids still have that life, but I'm able to help others to have it too here. So it's a great blessing. And like I said, I'll be grateful when I'm not in Snowmageddon every morning.
We actually have a new name for our
Yes,
we do. You know, we fondly refer to South Jordan as Sojo, right?
Yes,
Sojo.
Yeah.
We are now proud to live in Snowjo.
Snowjo.
And that's what we're calling it.
I will tell you, as somebody who makes that trip, and it's oftentimes stopping and things, your guys' public works crew and your snow crew are top notch. And I'm not saying that as a buttery thing. I'm just saying that I know when I've crossed the South Jordan line.
We want you to know.
No, I'm serious. I mean, I am dead serious. I don't know if any of you over there are in charge of that, but I'm just telling you right now that I know. And I come from a place where they don't plow the roads, so
you should talk to your city council about it.
So I have an idea. You might want to sleep overnight in that little stem housing place and have really bad storms.
We actually are in the process of considering putting a small little apartment somewhere.
Yeah.
So
you don't have to.
Yep.
Wow.
Did you rub shoulders with someone at USU Extension? Name is Troy Cooper.
Absolutely. Yeah. Troy was one of my mentors. In fact, Troy served on my promotion and tenure committee. And he gave me the final check and then he retired.
He's my brother-in-law.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear the passing of your sister.
That's my sister.
She was a wonderful, wonderful lady, and I had the opportunity of meeting her with Troy when I'd go out. Troy invited me a lot out to Duchesne to do teaching when I was in the state office.
He's a great guy.
He is. He is wonderful. In fact, he messaged me today.
Is that right?
Yeah, he did.
He'll invite for me.
I will. I will for sure.
Very cool.
Thank you guys so much. Have a wonderful evening.
And have a happy birthday, Josh.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
You spent your birthday with us.
It is my birthday.
Uh-huh. It's your birthday today, and you have to drive through
Snowmageddon to get back
to get home.
It's okay. I have strict orders for my 6-year-old that they're planning something, but I know I've got to get Chick-fil-A on the way home.
But it includes you bringing home Chick-fil-A.
That's right.
Where do you have to get Chick-fil-A?
So I planned it. Yeah. I think Farmington Station, because if I go to Ogden, it's way too far up the road.
Yeah,
so I think Farmington Station is where Chick-fil-A is going to happen, and then we're going to move.
Well, you better get on the road.
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate
you.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
None of this existed prior to Utah State.
Oh, this is an awesome addition to our city.
It's going
to
be really great.
Wow.
It's so great.
We are so fortunate.
This is a much bigger scope than I'm anticipating.
Yeah.
Josh, can I ask you one more question?
Yeah. Run while you can.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. The trails. No, you don't need the official.
It's a 3-part question.
The trails. Uh-huh. Is it a 5K? Is it a 1K? What's the
difference? So the parameter is actually 1 mile.
Okay.
I know I don't look like it, but I used to be a cross-country captain, and so that stuff has been in my mind.
Okay.
And so we want to make sure that it's at least measured out, and we do at this point. We've been working with Blue Line, who makes everything beautiful, but we have at least 1 mile, so they can actually do, you know, one or two loops
as
people are doing whatever, and we can close those down. So, like, for example, if we say, okay, well, we don't want the public to not be able to walk on the ADA trail, let's run the cross country runners on the horse trail.
Okay. Cool.
Right?
Perfect. Thank
so,
you.
Yep.
Right.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow.
That's
awesome.
I'm ecstatic.
Yeah, it's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. Thank you. We are going to move to our last discussion item, and we appreciate the patience of Melinda Seeger and Rachel Van Cleve. We appreciate both of you being here, and we're going to turn the time over to you.
Good evening. I really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to have this conversation with you. On the agenda, it does say a discussion. I'm hoping that it's going to be more of a back and forth conversation. I have the express privilege of working with a very, very talented bunch of people. Their skills, their talent sets, these professionals are what make us look good. They do all of the projects that you see on social media and all of our communication strategies and our resources that we utilize. They happen to be in here, so hopefully they can add to the discussion. But this, Rachel took the time to put together the presentation that you're going to see, and hopefully it's going to allow you to be a little bit more familiarized with what it is that we're doing, and I hope that this back and forth discussion will also allow us to answer any questions that you might have, and also to help us to be able to stay on the mark and make sure that we're doing exactly what we need to do to make sure that the city is heard and the impact and the outreach is resonating with our community and the public at large. And so with that, I'm going to quickly defer to Rachel to go ahead and get started and kind of let you know what they've been working on.
And I do have to give a plug for Melinda. I always like to say she's worth her weight in gold as a manager. She is fantastic and a great advocate for us as a team, obviously, with that introduction. So thank you, Melinda. So here's your death by PowerPoint that he mentioned earlier today. So obviously, I'm really excited about what we do in the city, how you see what the future looks like, and why you should be excited. Because communications is an industry or a topic or a job that's always changing. You know, every day, especially those in political roles that have to reach out to people, you realize, oh, that's different than it was last week. So it is a constantly changing industry. And this team, we're three of us, we're small but mighty. We're really passionate about what we do and the service we provide to our residents. So thank you so much for letting me speak with you today and kind of give you an update about what we're doing. And so in this presentation, I wanted to show you a little bit about the state of communication in the city today, where we come from, and where we hope to go. And we want to get some feedback from you all towards the end of the presentation. So I'll present some questions throughout, and then so I'll try to get through the information relatively quickly to make sure we have enough time to have a really productive discussion, I hope. So here we go. Let's see if it'll... So Dream Team, I mentioned. So it's myself as the manager and PIO, Joshua Timothy as our communication specialist, also multimedia guru, and Matt Dorkinson, our marketing specialist. So I want to talk a little bit about a few things. You see this award here. It is a finalist award, not quite the official. So next time I'm going to win, okay? I'm very competitive.
Do it, Rachel.
I'm very competitive. So, but this is the thing. This is the first time we entered, and we were able to make a finalist. So I'm pretty optimistic in terms of what we can do going forward. So a few other things that this team is doing. So we like to keep our finger on the pulse of everything going on in the communications industry around the state on every level. So a few things that I'm up to. I'm on the board of the Utah Public Information Officers Association, and I've served as the president of the Utah Association for Government Communications. Josh is the vice president currently of the Utah Association for Government Communications, and he also runs our drone program and has trained other drone pilots locally and outside of our organization. And then also Josh and I are getting the pleasure to speak at the PIO conference, the Utah PIO conference in St. George this fall about emerging AI technologies uses in communications and workflows. So not only are we staying on top of trends, we try to lead the way on trends. So Josh and I in particular have done a lot, and Matt as well, in terms of beta testing for AI technology. So
What I've been really impressed with this team is that they are influencing the trends around the state. And so it's been really gratifying to see that they have had an opportunity to offer a lot of input to other agencies and organizations. And they do have a seat at the table when it comes to some of the discussions of some of the more innovative, creative ideas that are kind of coming out right now.
Just in line with what South Jordan does, we like to lead the way. All right, so I'm going to give you a snapshot. So kind of tying this back to our strategic priorities in South Jordan, communications, our biggest role is about engagement. We want to engage our population, and we want to inform them. So that's kind of to that strategic priorities of engaging the community. So just to give you an idea, a snapshot of some of the things we've planned this year. We have 21 planned videos. These aren't things that come up. These are the things that we have planned from January through December, so just to make that clear. So, and those include like plot, fire, police, events, videos, et cetera. Planned publications, we have 85 of those. So that's all those SoJo News, that's our e-newsletter. neighboring news, the ones that the council gets, and then Focus and a few other things, recreation newsletter. Planned marketing campaigns, we have 13, and that includes things like the Soda Race series, Summerfest, the Dowdle puzzle later in the year. Planned outreach campaigns, 21 of those, secondary water, annexation, construction updates, spring cleanup, splash pad, Bingham Creek Regional Park, opening, all of the things. And then what this doesn't include is media inquiries, emergency in-center situational response, and new initiatives. And something that I want you to keep in mind for each of those individual items in that count, they include some combination of social posts, emails, text messages, website updates, graphic design, videography, script writing, video editing, message creation. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into each of these, and this is what we have planned for the year. So just give you an idea of, I've been using this new project management software, and we've been gathering data on the work that we've been doing, and the lovely Katie Olson has been a huge asset there. She is the dashboard queen and helps us figure out. So what we did, using all of the data and with her help, projected our capacity through the end of the year with these items planned. And then, as you can see, if every month were like March, we added about 211 hours on top of what we had planned. So if every month were like March, in April we're about 98% capacity. May, we always plan less because we anticipate doing a ton for Summerfest that month. So that's why that one's a little lower. June, we're actually technically over capacity, so something's going to have to get dropped. And then as we approach each month, those will go up as well. So we're doing a lot of really great work. We are working as much as we can to produce amazing content for our city. And for our residents.
So I'm guessing when you go about capacity, then all the other things come up, which push you to capacity every month as well.
Yes, so one of those planned things gets dropped potentially, unfortunately. But that's just the nature of communications, and we pivot as we're needed to. So
you guys are busy, I can tell.
Yeah, and we do a lot of fun stuff. It's a great job, and we love what we do. So team comparison, just kind of a fun little piece of information. So the population ranges of all the cities listed here, between 44,000 and 139,000. Some of those you probably can guess which one's which. And in terms of our team size, we're kind of on the lower middle of team sizes. So like I said, we're small but mighty. So we produce a lot. And one of the things that I would be remiss to mention, so in addition to all of that content we produce and how we compare to other cities, one way that we compare that no other city has. I'll let you take a picture.
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually appreciate you including
that. That no other city has is our leading drone program. So we have two federally licensed drone pilots. That's both Matt and Josh there. So Josh came in with the licensing. He trained Matt, and Matt took the tests and did everything. And so we actually are, and I forgot to mention this earlier, we're losing Matt to recreation, thanks to Nell. he's actually going to go be a recreation supervisor and use his amazing skills in another part of the city. So you might have seen a job listing we put out recently for a graphic design and content coordinator.
Cool.
So that's why we're getting that. But so like I said, I'd be remiss to not mention this amazing program we've had and some of the benefits of it. So Josh has consulted with other divisions in the city. He's worked with PD on their drone program and helped launch additional programs in the city. So engineering just launched a program. Because of his awesome skill set and knowledge base, he's kind of the consult for drone programs in the city. So just a few fun numbers in terms of that drone program. For every drone photo taken in-house, we're saving about $250. I don't have a number for you of the number of drone photos we've taken. It's in the thousands. So just keep that in mind. In terms of the ones we use, in the hundreds that we own, like posts and publications and various things. And so for every drone video done in-house, we're saving about $1,000 to $5,000. And based on the number of videos, for example, we have planned for the year, if we did drone clips in each of those, that's about $63,000 a year in savings if we put it right at $3,000. So kind of a fun stat there. So all of these missions flown have created spectacular event videos, you know, their city jobs, photos for the RDA zones, so we're helping out RDA, and then photos for the annual reports. So had to give that plug there. I wanted to get in a little bit into what the feedback we've gotten from our residents, either through the publication audit that we just did or elsewhere. So here's one of my personal favorites. I don't know who's in charge of your website, but it's the best city website that I have ever used. It's intuitive, and I can find what I need. That was an unsolicited piece of comment, so I was pretty happy about that one, because that was a big project. And then this is in reference to our focus. They're excellent. I read them all faithfully, and I really appreciate them. and then love them. Great communication plan and action. So these are some positive feedback. I would be remiss if I didn't mention our constructive feedback that we've gotten. So it would be nice to have a website of newsletters. Sometimes I want to check a date or even an event, but I can't find the printed copy of the last few issues. So we're actually going to be in the process of creating a whole page of an archive of all of our newsletters. So we are taking the feedback. It's a great idea, yeah. Right? And this is from resident feedback. So we take that feedback. And so thank you, Adam Bondi, for that piece of feedback. And then we'd like to be more informed about learning opportunities for elderly people. We've gotten this comment multiple times, and we've actually been working with Jamie on several ways to advance the way we communicate with our seniors. Our seniors are wanting text messages. They want more information in different formats, so we're having to update the way we communicate with our seniors. And then love them. Don't do email or newsletters. A text with a link would work. So this is actually in line with something we were already working on, which is updating our texting platform and program. And then if you should be.
I have subscribed to the new one as a result of the text that I got.
Okay, good.
Just this morning or yesterday or whenever it came out.
Text recently.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Just barely.
So we're going to send, so we started sending out the newsletter with links. So
yeah,
wonderful. So a lot of this.
But I did it immediately, or I knew I'd forget.
Yes. No, same. I have to do it that way too. So a lot of this feedback came from our publication audit that I mentioned earlier. You might have noticed this QR code in various publications. Yeah. We put QR codes in several of our printed publications, including our annual report, which is what this one's from. And then also links in our digital publications. So we had 910 people respond.
Wow.
This was voluntary. We just put it out there. I was going to be happy if we had 100 responses.
Yeah,
this just says how engaged our residents are. And just to show you even more, 231 of them left additional feedback about our publications. And then 131 of them were willing to give even more through focus groups by giving us their contact information. And we've actually already used that group of people to help test out that new text program before we launched it. Wide to the city, and they gave us feedback on it. They tested it out, make sure it worked, so we could fine tune it. So they've already, I offered them up some city swag for their help. So we appreciate every one of them. So here are the actual stats from the audit responses. We asked them, "Did you find the publication valuable, the one that you're reading?" 99% said yes. So publications are very well received. And then, what city publications do you read? So our top publication in the city is our Sojo News. That's our biweekly e-newsletter in terms of our most read publication based on this audit. That is in line with our resident survey where a lot of people say that's where they want to get their information. But this is of note because we only launched this about 3 years ago. So this is a new thing in terms of South Jordan publications. So we are answering a need for a particular platform getting our information out there. The next is our print focus. So print is still a thing. A lot of this audit, the reason we were doing this was to try to figure out, okay, are we still offering people information where they are? And what we found is they still really like all of our publications and all of them serve some sort of purpose. So you'll see that in some of these stats. So we have sent out the focus email, but through this audit process, we've actually stopped sending out the separate email because we include that information in the biweekly e-newsletter. So it's not we're not spamming people, but they're still getting the information. So it serves that right or that purpose. Recreation newsletter, about a quarter of our population says they read that, about a quarter for the annual report. And then the senior newsletter, here's our opportunity. That's print and online, only 4.7%. And I know that there's more that we can reach here. And based on some of the survey results, a lot of the seniors were like, oh, I didn't know that existed. So that is definitely an opportunity we're working on.
Where does the print go out to? I mean, where is it? How do people receive the print, the senior newsletter?
It's in the community center.
It's in the community center. That's the place where they get it?
Yeah, and on the one that's online is PDF.
Okay. So, Rachel, your stats were from that group of individuals that you've been working with?
These stats are actually from that 910. So that got full.
That was from the 900 group then?
Yes, that's from the full audit group. Yeah, that individual group we used to help with our text program thus far.
Are we able to, do you mind if I ask a question, Mayor? Are we able to target around the seniors? I mean, do we have the age, you know, ages of the people, and can we send people, you know, a certain age, we send, you know, send them the senior newsletter, or are we able to do something like that?
This is a really great question that we're working with Jamie on. So one of the things we've developed is she's been collecting contact information through various means, and we actually have a really good, like, phone number list of our seniors that we've been using for text messages, because that was, we had some really engaged senior committee members who were really excited about trying to get this out for text messages for ongoing items. So we have some of them doing Zoom classes and various things. Oh, Josh, yeah, what's up?
Delivering Mills, they're actually taking our Focus print and the senior newsletters, and they're dropping them off in the senior HOA.
That's one of the new ways we're trying to get more information.
So she comes, picks them up from us, and then drops them off in those neighborhoods.
I love that.
So the Garden Park and the Spring House.
Well, there's others.
And there's a couple others, too.
Yeah, there's a couple others. But, yeah, so, yeah, that's one way that we're getting that print out a little more.
Have you spoken to some of those HOAs about maybe getting it on their email list of, you know, just having them put it in their newsletter that goes out?
I know that Jamie has reached out to some of them, and I know that's part of why we're delivering some of the print news ones. But in terms of email lists, that's a great question.
So I know the activity director in Springhouse, they're very organized. I just talked to her on my way in today, so let me know if I can give you her number.
Oh, fantastic.
I do a weekly email to all of Springhouse Village.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there's a lot of opportunity here to get more information to our seniors. They want to be more engaged with some of our other publications.
And those are some of our newer residents, the ones at least on the west half of the city, who are less engaged with the city simply because they've got strong HOA programs that are happening there, but I think there's a real opportunity there for them to be aware of what's happening.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that's one that we're pretty excited about because we're realizing, hey, there's a group here that we can do more for, and we love to hear that. All right. So fun fact about SOJO Communications. What do all these people have in common?
They all live in South Georgia.
See, I know the mayor would know instantly. Every single one of these people in South Jordan.
This poses a very unique dynamic for us.
Yes, so
yes, it does.
So it's basically the word out. The word is out about South Jordan. We've known this for a while as our population has grown, but what that means is also the media moves here and lives here. And they are aware of what's going on in our city. They're aware of various people's complaints. It means we get more investigative pieces.
Okay.
So for good or for ill.
And Dan Rascom got in contact with us just today.
Just today. About outdoor businesses that are dealing with snow right now because of, you know, unseasonal snow, so to speak. So he was about Mulligans.
Not realizing that Mulligans is a city.
Yes, so then Jake said, go talk to Rachel. So having said that, I wanted to do a really quick overview here because there's gotten a lot of questions in terms of the differences between public relations, public affairs, and media relations. So I just wanted to touch on that really briefly and kind of what we do with each of these. So public relations develops a story or a message generally with the intent to market or sell something. You'll see this a lot with our events, our programs for athletics. That's going to be more on the public relations side because there's a bit of program branding with that. And then public affairs also develops the story or message, but the intent is to inform the public or impact public policy. So items like, we want you to recycle. We want you to, both of these encourage public actions. So the idea is to either sign up for an event, we want you to recycle, we want you to stay off the roads while our plows are on the roads, that type of thing. And then the public policy aspect is Mr. Ryan Lutz over here. He's, I bet you didn't know that I would lump you in with us communications folks, huh?
I love communication.
So, anyway, he does the public policy portion of that. So, our media relations is just a channel for a lot of this information to go out. And in general, about 5% of our content goes through the media. That's either through press releases or they pick up on our media elsewhere from our website or social media. So let's talk a little bit about the state of media relations, so that one channel. So we're continuing to build media relationships. We did a lot through the pandemic, building some of those relationships and interacting with media. And this is something that's going to be always ongoing, feeling at those, what those look like. So we have had increased media inquiries, which we've been very aware of. Some of those include those investigative pieces that I mentioned, or just in general, because as we grow, we're more in the public eye, and South Jordan has some big things coming down the line. We're very aware of what a lot of those are. So that's just going to mean increased scrutiny. People are going to want to know what's up in South Jordan, and they're going to want to come talk to us. One of the main ways that we reach out to the media is through press releases. So we do proactive or reactive press releases typically. So proactive for events, items that we want people to show up to, that type of thing. And then incidents are reactive. Lessons learned. State of media relations. We have learned, as we've had these increased inquiries, that there are great ways to vary how we respond to the media. Sometimes that is to say, not right now. And other times that is, hey, you know, we put out this great message on our social media. Please go pick it up there. So we're developing and polishing our media policy based on some lessons learned and some negative interactions, unfortunately, with some of the media. So we will just keep improving from here. Every time we interact with the media, we learn something, we take it with us, and we make it better coming down the line. So some current media topics that we're monitoring. We are looking, particularly at misinformation and clarification about four really key things, and I put them in four separate categories. All of these things, which the Tribune just did an article on all four in one, but I feel like they did a good job of differentiating everything. Both Gary and the mayor were included in that. So basically, I put them on separate lines because obviously the annexation and MOU are related, but they're different. The bees moving and the HDRZ are related, but they're different. So we've just done some messaging and working with our various organizations and partnerships on these issues. We've been working very closely with them just to make sure we're all on the same page and that we're very clear and giving the same message on all of these. A few other things that are coming up. Bingham Creek Regional Park is a big deal. It's going to be the largest county park in the county. So that's something that's coming up that we're going to definitely have some media attention on. And then obviously very timely potential flooding. We're very aware of the greater message and media landscape in terms of flooding. In South Jordan, it's different than it is in the broader messaging. So our residents want to know, if they keep hearing flooding, 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 what is the flooding potential here? We put out several bits of messaging, including a newsletter or a social post today just about sandbags, but we clarified, look at the map, see if you're at risk, because most of South Jordan isn't. But it's always important to just stay informed and be aware. And luckily, our residents are very well informed, and they trust the information from us, which is, I'll go into that a little bit. Here on social media updates, actually. So a few updates that we've made in terms of social media is we've increased our posting frequency. This has been our focus this year overall, is just really ramping up our social presence. So regular posts for holidays and additional post sharing from partner organizations. So when I say partner organizations, and this is a point of clarification, because I've had, I think you reached out to me about somebody, is this something we can share their information about? I can't remember what it was for, but you're like, eh, maybe. is basically if they're another government entity that has information or public information that's important or useful for residents, we will share their information. Or if we are partnering with them on a particular event. So that means we have an active role in making that thing happen. Otherwise, our policy in general is not to share the information. Just because once we share something, because there's a lot of really amazing things going on in our community and I would love to share it all, but once we share one thing over here, we have to share this thing over here that we might not agree with. So for the sake of equity and not opening that can of worms, that's where we draw the line. Engagement. So this is what I'm talking about with our residents. You saw with that publications audit that they're super engaged. I call those super engaged residents community evangelists. So these are the people that trust me because we've been so transparent and so informative, and they trust us, they defend us. You've probably seen it multiple times on social media. We had that basketball story that was going around. Our residents instantly were like, that is not a thing, and shut it down. They responded, you know, accurately, said, here's the post that police put out about it. They're just really engaged, really informed. I've been immensely impressed. with our residents. So fun stat or fun piece of information here. Most engaging post of 2022 was our photo contest voting. That was towards the end of the year, and people just love that. A lot of really awesome photos. Most engaging post of 2023, thus far, anything with plowing. All of the plowing posts were super engaging. So, okay, now another thing we've been doing is getting council more involved with our social presence. So we had Tamara Zander in that awesome date dance video, and we just filmed, and Josh is in the process of editing one.
It's
an arts
take a lot
video.
Of editing.
You did great. You did awesome. So Jason McGuire is going to be in that video. And then we also took little clips for the art show, advertising the art show with Jason McGuire, the mayor, and Brad Marler. And those are kind of going up throughout the art show. And then finally, we have a new Animal Services Facebook page. It's the first new Facebook page we've had in a while. If you haven't had a chance to follow it, please do, because who doesn't like cute animals? That's where they post lost animals and also ones up for adoption.
Good to know.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. That's good.
And then how am I doing? Okay, I'm going to try to kind of go through here real fast. So email stats, what we've seen in the resident survey, our residents like to receive things through email, and that bears out here. So we have a 63% open rate. In the industry average, this means other governments or nonprofits is kind of the one we're lumped into, 41%. The change over the last previous, the 12 months, is 8%. So we had a significant increase, but overall, we're way above the industry average. So we have very engaging content, and it's something that our residents desire. And just so to put that in perspective, that's 10,000 opens, which can represent individuals or entire households in a lot of cases. So these are ones that, hey, I'm the one whose email's in the system, but I share this with my husband or kids or, you know. So this is quite a bit of our population that sees this content through our email newsletters and other publications that go out digitally. And just for the sake of time, I'm going to skip through here. So we're getting a new text messaging platform that I mentioned already. It's basically just to, we're going to be doing more with engagement, and it's in line with Constant Contact's, our email provider. And so that'll be further integrated. And then also pre-council videos, just a fun other channel. It's a captive audience out there in front of council, so we get to play those videos, get that content out, and the things that we're producing. I see Janelle smiling over there. She's like, yeah, I have to watch all those things. All right, and then I wanted to touch on neighboring news. So this is something your communications team produces that goes out to you all and our leadership team. And so at the very end, I just love answers to some of these questions from you. Is it useful? How do you like some of the changes we've made? We've added trending topics and some of the South Jordan City communications. And finally, so I'm blasting through this information just because I want to get to at least a little discussion. Here's our roadmap. So the communications division is a newer division. It was kind of disparate positions that handled communications in the city previously. So it was created in 2018 when I started here at the city. So kind of, and I put just a fun stat here, if you notice, what our population was each year, and just how, and because the reason I did that is we were very growth focused. We were thinking way out into the future, but just to give you a perspective of where we've been, we started off internal focus, organizing our division and processes, kind of getting everything set. We launched a new intranet to help with communications internally, and then also a request form to funnel requests from various divisions, because we're a unique division in the city in that we serve every single department in the city and then also engage with the public directly. So we're very service-oriented. So in fiscal year 1920, we focused on planning. We built a five-year strategic plan, and part of that is launching that new newsletter that I mentioned, the Sojo News. And then the 2021, we prepped a lot. That was during the pandemic. So we focused a lot on emergency communications, improving those, and informing the public on how to be prepared and building those media relationships, as I mentioned earlier. Fiscal year 21-22, we really ramped up our external expansion. We did all of this groundwork to get to this point, and that included that big website overhaul that had been in the process and thinking through for several years at that point. So, and we saw through when Kyrene presented a few weeks ago or a month ago, how well that is serving our residents and that they're reaching out to the city less because they're finding the information they need on the website. And then finally, we're really ramping up, like I said earlier, our social media, focusing on increasing social media content and and really engaging content. So that's why we're doing a lot. We're always doing a lot with video, but we're probably doing even more with video and images and graphics. And so that's where we are. Whew. I was trying to get through it to get us out in time, but I wanted to get some questions I have for you. What's working? What's not? What's the future look like to you? What do you think we could do better? And what are you hearing from your constituents? And then also those questions about neighbor news. So what feedback do you have for me? This is my chance to take it and run with it for the next 5 years.
Are you looking for topics right now in as far as communication topics and maybe questions that residents have? Because one that I have had several over the past couple of months is what can we do about Airbnbs and all of the impacts? I think the residents ought to know what is legal and what is not, and what can they do about, you know, loud parties and those kind of things. That might be a topic that would be of interest to
maybe a video.
Huh? Oh, just right, but you on video, Brad, because now he's been on video.
Brad has the code enforcement card.
That's a great idea.
Can we film a party at your house?
With the cops radio?
Loud music, everyone's drinking.
Yeah.
Now that's just something I was just thinking. Not sure I've seen an article or communication about that, and I don't know about any that are council members, but that's something I've fielded several times recently, wondering, hey, what can we do about this? How can we stop this? And I've said, no, you can't stop it, but, you know, some of the impacts, you need to be aware of what you can do if there are problems.
I think that's really good feedback. We could potentially do videos like that or some kind of a social media campaign, if anything, to dispel any misconceptions and to provide that education piece. So if you're bringing up those ideas, we can discuss how to approach that. And it also helps you out. I think it could be incredibly beneficial and advantageous for you to point out that information. Much like the Truth in Taxation, the Taxation 101 video, if you have somebody who's reaching out to you, then you can send them to our Facebook or to our website so that they can become better informed.
That's a great idea as well.
Yeah, and like Melinda said, if there is anything that you know you're getting a lot of questions about, we can have it up on the website. So just reach out to Dustin and Gary and just say, hey, this is something that we want, and they'll just let me know. I need to get it up on the website as a resource. We'll let you know when it's up, and then you can point people that direction. So anything that we're getting a lot of questions about, we want to make sure is up.
We also want to be kind of politically sensitive. We want to be really expedient with the information, but we also want to really vet what information we're going to be putting out there because of any professional courtesy, or the timing might be that a legislator might be particularly sensitive to that. We have to kind of determine how could that impact us to put that information out there, and how is that going to be influential either in the negative or a positive consequence.
I appreciate that thoughtfulness.
Yeah, I don't think we want to be throwing legislators or anyone else under the bus. I think it's just the fact, ma'am. Give people understanding about what is the law, what is the ordinance, what can we do, and what we don't have control of, in this example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you showed which post had the most attention. Mm-hmm. We all saw it was the photo art contest. So what is that telling us? It's telling us that the public want to see themselves. Like, they really don't need to see us unless we're engaging with them. I think one of the best things is when you come to the Sojo Race Series. I love that, and that just barely started. The public want to see themselves doing things in the community, engaging with an art show, a race, whatever. Do think they enjoy, like, when the mayor goes out and does public works or whatever, that's fine and dandy. They want to see themselves. So that was very telling. The highest trafficked post was them voting on art. It's them doing things. So I think the more we can trend that way of getting the public either engaging with us at an event, but seeing themselves in the post.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that was very telling.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's also a fine line with that, though. There's a liability. You can't post pictures of kids without permission. There's some permissions that have to happen.
Clips.
You have to. There's just some fine lines of liability.
You could figure that out.
If they're in a public space,
then there's
an understanding that could potentially happen. Also, they have image and talent waivers, so they do kind of plan for that.
And along those lines, could we post just a little sign, have a little sign made that's at the starting line and the finish line of every one of our race series or something like that, you know? That just a little small thing that just says...
And we've had that at some of our events.
You know, we might use these pictures.
I'd have to check, but I think when you register, you waive all
your
rights.
Yeah,
when
you waive it all,
it's already done.
Okay, you already say it's okay when you register.
Yeah. Okay, then anything that has an activity registration in the waiver, we have that.
Sorry.
And then if it's an open event like Spring Spectacular this weekend, they don't register. Then, I mean, it is a public space, but that's where I think the signposting is more appropriate.
Yeah. And I think we've done it for Summerfest in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you coming up with that survey and telling us exactly what everybody engaged on, that tells us what the public likes to see. Yes, we should be informing them, but we also should be showcasing them.
And I love that point because that's really what this comes down to, is trying to engage the public. And they are engaged and they're excited and they want to not only see the information, they want to participate.
Right.
So
they love our city, they will defend our city, and the more we tell them about what's going on in the city, the more they feel a part of the city.
Exactly.
And so I don't know, I'm sure there's a bazillion tricks to marketing, and I try to incorporate my little hangnail portion at my business, but anytime you can get the people watching the video to comment or reshare, all of that is exponential. And so as you're doing some of these events like the art show or the Sojo race, maybe there's a way to shift this into saying, I don't know, getting people to not only like it, but share it. I don't know. But it definitely, then they're going to start seeing more of our posts, right? The more they like and share, the more it kind of comes up in their feed.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, thank you.
Sorry. I just want to say thank you to our whole communications team. One of the things I've heard from my constituents over the years is you do such a great job communicating with us. All I'm doing most of the time on social media is sharing something the city already put out. It's not my unique content by any means, but it allows us to be able to get out in front of the residents of the city that for whatever reason they missed the feed coming directly to them, or they don't realize they're not following the city's like Facebook page or something. So just thank you for making it easier for us to pass on information.
And thank you, Mr. McGuire, because you are considered one of those community evangelists by sharing all the content. I see you.
Well, I would concur that your posts are really good quality. Like your visuals and you wordsmith it really well. And every time I share one of the city posts, I'm completely confident that it's 100% accurate and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So that's impressive.
And if you see something that's not, please
we'll
just
tell you.
Text me and we will fix it immediately.
Well, and increasing the amount of posting, I know that's been a deliberate effort.
Yes.
But the algorithm stinks.
Yes.
You have, it's reality, right? If you want people to see it, you have to be able to overcome the reality of the social media algorithms. You have to, and that's going to go along with multiple posting and you know, extra engagement, more people commenting, asking a question at the end of it that people, for better or for worse, are going to weigh in, right?
Yes.
But that's part of how we get it seen too, so I appreciate that.
That's why we focus so much on the email, because we always hit more with email than we will ever hit with the social media posts.
Right.
And those are our residents that are actually reading it. So.
Yeah, Josh mentions that, and that 10,000 that I mentioned, I don't know that we've ever gotten 10,000 people to engage on a post. Is that a number that we've seen?
Except for a big
announcement?
Yeah, something like
that. Yeah, generally we get that every time on email. We get 10,000 opens. That means they are engaging with that piece of information, and there's a lot of information in there versus a singular social media post. So,
we appreciate your feedback. Thank you so much for letting us share this with you today.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for letting me talk.
Thank you all for being here.
Thanks for making us look good and making the city look good.
Awesome.
Are you finding value in neighboring news?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I love it.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you. Okay, it is 6:28. Unless there's anything else, I will ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Mayor.
You get a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
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 We are adjourned. Thank you.